أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها النبي إنا أحللنا لك أزواجك التي آتيت أجورهن وما ملكت يمينك مما أفاء الله عليك وبنات عمك وبنات عماتك وبنات خالك وبنات خالاتك اللاتي هاجرن معك وامرأة مؤمنة إن وهبت نفسها للنبي إن أراد النبي أن يستنكحها خالصة لك من دون المؤمنين قد علمنا ما فرضنا عليهم في أزواجهم وما ملكت أيمانهم لكي لا يكون عليك حرج وكان الله غفورا رحيما ترجي من تشاء منهن وتؤوي إليك من تشاء ومن ابتغيت ممن عزلت فلا جناح عليك ذلك أدنى أن تقر أعينهن ولا يحزن ويرضين بما آتيتهن كلهن والله يعلم ما في قلوبكم وكان الله عليما حليما لا يحل لك النساء من بعد ولا أن تبدل بهن من أزواج ولو أعجبك حسنهن إلا ما ملكت يمينك وكان الله على كل شيء رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تدخلوا بيوت النبي إلا أن يؤذن لكم إلى طعام غير ناظرين إناه ولكن إذا دعيتم فادخلوا فإذا طعمتم فانتشروا ولا مستأنسين لحديث إن ذلكم كان يؤذي النبي فيستحيي منكم والله لا يستحيي من الحق وإذا سألتموهن متاعا فاسألوهن من وراء حجاب ذلكم أطهر لقلوبكم وقلوبهن وما كان لكم أن تؤتوا رسول الله ولا أن تنكحوا أزواجه من بعده أبدا إن ذلكم كان عند الله عظيما إن تبدوا شيئا أو تخفوه فإن الله كان بكل شيء عليما
We're going through the chapter of Ahzab, Surah Al-Ahzab, and today we're starting from ayah number 50. And the discussion today will be the issue of the marriages of the Prophet ﷺ. And of course, this is a hot topic in this day and age, particularly where people are not used to the issue of polygamy and how people could basically understand polygamy at that time was because it was a very common practice. And it was not something uncommon. It was something which was practiced frequently. And if it was an issue, people would have raised that issue in that day and age against the Prophet ﷺ. But nobody raised this issue against him because it was a very common practice. In this day and age, people accuse the Prophet ﷺ of being a womanizer, na'udhu billah. But the reality is that if you look at the facts of all of the marriages of the Prophet ﷺ, you realize that there's nothing further from the truth. The Prophet, his first marriage at the age of 25 was to a woman who was a widow and who was 15 to 20 years older than him. Okay, at the age of 25, he's known in all of the circles in Mecca as being honest, trustworthy, from an honorable family. And he has all the qualities of getting whichever kind of woman he likes. A young woman who's never been married before, which was and still is in the Arab culture, something that people prefer to marry a woman who's not been married before. But he chose a woman, or he married a woman, who proposed to him. He didn't propose to her, she proposed to him, when she saw his honesty and his trustworthiness, because he was doing the trade for her, because she was successful businesswoman. So this was his first marriage, the first marriage that took place. And during the course of this first marriage, the Prophet ﷺ, he never married anybody else. So after she passed away, that's when the Prophet ﷺ married other women. And even after, when he did marry these other women, it was for political reasons, getting tribes together. And in many cultures, this is very common, to make sure that two families become closer, a marriage takes place between them. So, on many occasions, the marriages were for political reasons. And again, if we look at all of the women, they were either divorcees or widows. Except only Aisha radiallahu anha, she was the only woman who had not been married before, from all of the wives. If it was a case of him being a womanizer, he could have had any woman he wanted. And we have heard so many riwayat about the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, who was approached by the Quraysh, who used to tell him, just stop what you're doing. Stop this dawah that you're talking about. Stop calling people towards one God, and we will give you whatever you want. If you want leadership, we'll give you leadership. If you want women, we'll bring the most beautiful women for you so you can marry them. Okay, but this was not what he wanted. This was not the reason behind the Prophet ﷺ's marriages. It was for a different reason, political reasons. And also, one of the biggest wisdoms is that who from amongst us, if you think about yourself, who from amongst us, who knows the most about us? It's our wives, okay? How we live at home, what kind of character we have, whether we are truthful, whether we lie, whether we clean, whether we leave our clothes lying around, after we take them off, Our wives, they know all of the ins and outs of our characters, and the deen, the religion of Islam that the Prophet ﷺ brought, it was to be given to us and it was to be practiced until the day of judgment. So the complete religion, including his household life, was portrayed to us and given to us largely or in a great big part by the Azwaj Mutahharat, by the wives of the Prophet ﷺ. Okay, so the deen, his household activities, they were taught to us by the Prophet ﷺ. In addition to that, women's issues, the issues of menstruation, childbirth, and all of the other related women's issues that we could think about, how did they come to us? If, for example, somebody, a woman who was not married to the Prophet ﷺ, was too modest or too shy to approach the Prophet ﷺ, then one of the wives asked the Prophet ﷺ, and all of the women's issues that could have been learned were given to us through the wives of the Prophet ﷺ. So there were so many wisdoms and so many things that we can answer to those critics of the Prophet ﷺ who criticized the fact that he had so many wives. There are some riwayat from 9 to 13 wives the Prophet ﷺ had at one time. But remember, this was very, very common in that day and age. Most of the people at that time had polygamous situations, and it was a very common thing. And Islam, what Islam did, it came down and limited the polygamy to four. So any person who had more than four wives, he was instructed to divorce them. Okay, so this is a very important subject that we should be aware of. And if anybody criticizes the Prophet ﷺ, we should have the answers ready for that. So anyway, today's subject is about the marriages of the Prophet ﷺ. The first ayah says, Ya ayyuhan nabi, O Prophet, Inna ahlalna lak, indeed we made halal for you, azwajaka allati ataita ujurahun, those wives to whom you gave their ujur, meaning their mahar. So this was one category of women that was halal for the Prophet ﷺ, and this is also permissible for any Muslim. A person who marries, he has to give a mahar, and a mahar is a mutual agreement that takes place between a husband and a wife. Okay? And this is something that women need to be aware of, what their rights are concerning mahar. In so many occasions, the parents basically decide for her, and she's not even asked. Okay, so the mahar is the right of the woman who is getting married. It is not the right of the parents. It is not the right of anybody else. It is the woman who is about to get married. She needs to be asked what mahar she wants, whether it is 5,000, 10,000, or if she wants something as simple as $100 or $200, it is entirely up to her. But she is the one who should be asked, and it is her right, and it should not be done without her approval. So basically what happens is that during a nikah ceremony, the woman is basically asked, and she says, and on sometimes when it's a woman who's converted to Islam or reverted to Islam, she says, what's the mahar? Okay, so she doesn't even know what it is that is being discussed. So it has to be explained to her. So the mahar is something that the woman, she decides and basically approves of, and then the marriage takes place. And also, there's a hadith in which the Prophet ﷺ said that the best of the women are the ones who keep their mahar low. So again, a balance is achieved. And on the one hand, she has the right to demand whatever she wants, but at the same time, the Prophet ﷺ said that the best of the women are the ones who keep their mahar low, so that it doesn't become difficult for men to marry them. And unfortunately, in the Middle East, Dubai and Saudi Arabia and all these places, what's happening is the women are making their mahar so much that it's becoming extremely difficult for men to marry them. So the women are getting older and they're remaining unmarried, and the men cannot afford to marry them, and they're also staying single, and it's a huge catch-22 situation which cannot be resolved unless we go back to the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, which is keep the mahar low, but still the woman has the right to demand whatever she wants, but the best of the women and the most barakah is going to be in that situation where the mahar is kept low. So the Prophet ﷺ is instructed that if you are getting married, then those women that you give the mahar to, they are permissible for you. وَمَا مَلَكَتْ يَمِينُكَ مِمَّا أَفَاءُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكَ. And whoever you possess, meaning in those days what used to happen, that there was slavery was very common, and in many situations the women used to come imprisoned after warfare. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that those women that come to you then, and they are in the state of imprisonment, of course you set them free and then they become your wives. And this is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَا مَلَكَتْ يَمِينُكَ مِمَّا أَفَاءَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكَ, from those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to you, meaning after any warfare or jihad. So there were a few women who were like that. For example, Safiya and Juwayriya, he set them free, and then after that, he married them. And also, Rayhana bint Shim'un and Nadariya and Maria al-Qibtiya, who was a Coptic woman, Coptic meaning Coptic Christian woman, who he married, and she was the mother of his son Ibrahim alayhi salam. So what he's given permission to do is any woman that is brought in captivity, he set her free and then married her. So this is what this part of the verse is saying. وَبَنَاتِ عَمِّكَ, and your cousin meaning your uncle's daughters, and this means your paternal uncle's daughters, وَبَنَاتِ عَمَّاتِكَ, and your paternal aunt's daughters, وَبَنَاتِ خَالِكَ, your maternal uncle's daughters, وَبَنَاتِ خَالَاتِكَ, and your maternal aunt's daughters. Okay, these are permissible for you, and this ruling is also for Muslims. Muslims are allowed to marry their cousin sisters, even though in this culture it is regarded as an incestuous relationship, but Islamically there is nothing prohibited about it. It's narrated in some riwayat that the Christians used to have a kind of a ruling, which was that they, to allow the persons to get married, they have to have a separation of seven relationships. Okay, seven relationships have to be separated, and after that they could get married. And amongst the Jews, some people used to allow marrying even the nephews and the nieces. Okay, so the uncles, basically your brother's daughter you could marry, or your sister's daughter you could marry. So Islam basically brought the middle ground that you don't have to go to such lengths to basically prohibit relationships on to such a degree. What you should do is you're allowed to marry your cousins, but you're not allowed to marry your nieces, which has been mentioned in Surah An-Nisa, those people, those women that are prohibited. So the cousins of the Prophet ﷺ were also allowed to him. Allati hajarna ma'ak, those women that migrated with you, meaning from Mecca to Medina. وَامْرَأَةً مُؤْمِنَةً إِنْ وَهَبَتْ نَفْسَهَا لِلنَّبِيِّ إِنْ أَرَادَ النَّبِيُّ أَنْ يَسْتَنْكِحَهَا. And this exception was only for the Prophet ﷺ, was that if a woman came to the Prophet ﷺ and just gave herself to the Prophet and said, I want to marry you without a mahar. So this ruling was specifically for the Prophet ﷺ. What it says is, and a mu'min, a believing woman, if she gives herself to the Prophet ﷺ, if the Prophet wants to marry her, it is only for you, not for any other believer. But historically, even though the Prophet ﷺ was given permission to marry any woman who used to come to him and present herself to get married, the Prophet ﷺ never did that without a mahar. He always did give a mahar to whoever came, and in many occasions the Prophet ﷺ just refused. He didn't want to marry every single woman that came to him. And there's even a riwayah, it's mentioned that Sa'ad al-Sa'idi, Sahal ibn Sa'ad al-Sa'idi relates that the Prophet ﷺ, a woman came to him and said, Ya Rasulullah, inni qad wahabtu nafsi lak, that I've given myself to you. So she stood there, I mean she didn't move from there. She basically was very stubborn. فَقَامَ رَجُلٌ, a man stood up and said, Ya Rasulullah, zawwijniha, that if you don't want to marry her to me. إِلَّمْ يَكُنْ لَكَ بِكَ حَاجَةً, that if you don't have any need for her, then marry her to me. فَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ هَلْ إِنْدَكَ مِنْ شَيْءٍ تُصَدِّقُهَا إِيَّا, do you have any kind of sadaq, any kind of mahar that you could give to her? So he said, مَا عِنْدِي إِلَّا إِزَارِ هَذَا, he said, I only have my izar, meaning my lower garment, nothing else. I don't have any other property or anything like this. So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he replied with an amusing kind of statement. He said, إِنْ أَعْطَيْتَهَا إِزَارَكْ جَلَسْتَ لَا إِزَارَ لَكْ فَلْتَمِسْ شَيْئًا, if you give her your izar, then you're going to sit there without an izar. So find something for her to give as mahar. So he said, I don't have anything. فَقَالْ إِلْتَمِسْ وَلَوْ خَاتَمًا مِّنْ حَدِيدٍ, the Prophet ﷺ said, that seek something even if it's a ring made out of metal. Just give her something as mahar. So he did. He looked, but he could not find anything. So then the Prophet ﷺ said, هَلْ مَعَكَ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ شَيْءٍ, do you know any Qur'an? قَالَ نَعْمْ سُورَةْ كَذَا وَسُورَةْ كَذَا, I know this surah and this surah. So فَقَالَ لَهُ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ زَوَّجْتُكَهَا بِمَا مَعَكَ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ, I have married you to her with whatever you have from the Qur'an. So from this hadith, some scholars say that it's permissible to marry a woman only on the basis of you teaching her certain surahs of the Qur'an or teaching her knowledge and so on. But some scholars, particularly the Hanafi scholars, they say no, there is a minimum of material money that you should give to honor her, and it's not going to be sufficient just to give this kind of a thing. It has to be a material thing. But anyway, that's a different opinion from the scholars about that issue. But the thing that we are focusing on here is a woman who gives herself to the Prophet ﷺ without a mahar. It was only permissible for the Prophet ﷺ, nobody else. So, but the scholars say that the Prophet ﷺ never accepted any woman who came to him, even though that allowance was there for him. Okay, so whoever he married, he basically gave a mahar to her and married her. So it says, خَالِصَةً لَكَ مِن دُونِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, this is specifically for you, O Prophet of Allah, not for any other believer. That any other believer, if he wants to marry, then he has to give the mahar. قَدْ عَلِمْنَا مَا فَرَضْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ فِي أَزْوَاجِهِمْ وَمَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُهُمْ لِكَيْ لَا يَكُونَ عَلَيْكَ حَرَجٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we know what we made obligatory upon them in the situation of the mahar, in the situation of their wives, that they are supposed to give mahar to them. It is fard. وَمَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُهُمْ. And also in the issue of their slaves, لِكَيْ لَا يَكُونَ عَلَيْكَ حَرَجٍ, so that there is not going to be any haraj upon you, O Prophet of Allah. That situation is for mu'mineen, for believers, they have to give a mahar, and that is how a marriage is conducted. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is forgiving and He is merciful. After that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, تُرْجِي مَن تَشَاءُ مِنْهُنَّ وَتُؤْوِي إِلَيْكَ مَن تَشَاءُ. You can leave whoever you want from them, and you can take whoever you want. Okay, there are two riwayas about this and two opinions from the scholars as to what this means. One opinion is that when a woman, she presents herself to you, you can marry whoever you want and you can leave whoever you want. That's one meaning. And another meaning is that from the wives that you've already married, you can, you know, in a polygamous situation, each person, each wife has to have an equal share of time. Okay, so if he's spending one night with one wife, the other wives have to have one night each, unless they forfeit their rights themselves. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed the Prophet ﷺ to even have the choice of distributing his nights according to, and his time according to, whatever he wanted. But still he didn't do that. He still had equal time between all the women. And this was known about the Prophet ﷺ, that he could do it and he could have whatever time he wanted, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed that for him, but he did not. He still, whenever he wanted to have more time with another wife, he used to take permission from the other wives or whoever's turn it was and spend time with that with permission. So there are two meanings derived from these verses. وَمَنْ اِبْتَغَيْتَ مِمَّنْ عَزَلْتَ فَلَا جُنَاحَ عَلَيْكَ. And whoever you seek from whom you left, then فَلَا جُنَاحَ عَلَيْكَ, then there is no problem upon you. Meaning that if you go back, and in both situations, in the first situation, that if you refused a woman and then you change your mind and you want to go marry her again, then it's permissible for you to go marry her. Or in the situation of the distribution of the time between the wives, if you decided to spend more time with one wife and basically then you change your mind back again, you can go back and reschedule the time again. It doesn't make any difference. Okay. ذَلِكَ أَدْنَى أَن تَقَرَّ أَعْيُنُهُنَّ وَلَا يَحْزَنَّ وَيَرْضَيْنَ بِمَا آتَيْتَهُنَّ كُلُّهُنَّ. Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring this ruling? This is so that their eyes could become cool. وَلَا يَحْزَنَّ. And they would not be worried. And they could be happy with whatever you give them, all of them. Meaning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He brought about this ruling for you, O Prophet of Allah. And if the wives know that the ruling is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you have the choice to do whatever you want in terms of time between your wives, then they should not be upset about it. Okay? It is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the ruling is from Allah, and why should we be upset? When Allah has given him permission to do what he wants, then there is no reason for us to be upset. Okay, so this ruling was specifically for the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, but still, and again historically, even though the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam had this allowance, he did not take it. Okay, he had the option of using it, but he did not. He still used to distribute his time accordingly. وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ مَا فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَلِيمًا حَلِيمًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what is in your hearts, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is knowledgeable and full of forbearance, meaning patience. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what is in the hearts of the women, meaning when they see the husband is spending more time with somebody else, then the jealousy is going to be there. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala got rid of that jealousy by saying and giving the allowance to the Prophet ﷺ. After that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, again addressing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, لا يحل لك النساء من بعد. There is no other woman halal for you after this. So again, this also has different interpretations. One interpretation is that the women that you have already, that you've married already, then when this ayah was revealed, then no more women for you anymore because this is the limit that you've reached. That's one opinion. Another opinion is that the women that have been listed in the previous ayah, other than that, there is no other woman allowed to you. Okay, so both opinions are there. لا يحل لك النساء من بعد. There is not halal for you any woman after this. ولا أن تبدل بهن من أزواج. And you are not even allowed to change any of the wives. ولو أعجبك حسنهن. Even if their beauty is, you know, seems good to you. If you like any of the woman's beauty, then you're not allowed to marry them if they're not in that previous category or other than the women that you've already mentioned, depending on the tafsir that you take. إلا ما ملكت يمينك, except for the slave girls, except for your right, what your right hand possesses. وكان الله على كل شيء رقيبا. And indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is a watcher over everything. Now, in this situation of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if you take the tafsir that it was not permissible for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to marry any other women other than that, then the scholars say that that prohibition was removed from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam later on in his life even. But he still didn't marry any other women after this ayah was revealed. Okay, so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was allowed to marry after that, but he still did not, even though that allowance was given back to him. We're going to stop there because the subject changes a little bit after that, and it's a little bit of a lengthy discussion. So inshallah we're going to continue next week. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to understand what has been said and heard.